Today on Real Radio.
He's on his way to Jerusalem. He's left the area of Ephesus. You can go there and visit the area today. And maybe we'll do that in the future with a Holy Land tour. But he left that region and now some 30 miles away calls for the Ephesian elders. Elders, bishops, deacons, same meaning, don't worry about it. Same meaning as the word pastor. The heads of the churches and fellowships together to give them one final briefing. But we take this most important part this morning systematically. But Paul is completing now his missionary journey. The first point in our study today is Paul had a clear conscience toward all men. He had given them the gospel. And he even says, I've got a clear conscience. I'm free from the blood of all men. So listen, regarding that issue alone, we're going to find out three things that are absolutely essential for us to understand as Christians.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his verse-by-verse series through the book of Acts, and we're in a mini-series called The Apostles' Farewell Address. Once Saul became Paul. This New Testament narrative, commonly called Acts, focuses quite a bit on his post-conversion ministry. And this series within a series looks at chapter 20, wherein we read of his announcement of returning to Jerusalem, where things are quite volatile. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
When engineers desired to put a bridge across the Niagara River, they had a crew of engineers on one side of the river and they had a crew on the other side, and they were looking one at another across the river. They had their binoculars on and looking and trying to figure out. They had dedicated a week to trying to think up how are they going to build a bridge across this violent and strong river. And at the end of the week, they compared notes and nobody had an idea. They didn't know how to cross the river to actually get the bridge going. They couldn't dam up the river. That was not possible. And so what happened was somebody had an idea about flying a kite across the river. But what they did was before they flew the kite, they tied a string to the tail of the kite. And in a strong wind, they sent that kite up and it flew to the other side, where once it had cleared the edge of the river, they cut the line that the kite flyer was holding and it went falling down. And as it went down, it carried in its tail's grasp a string. Well, now the string went across the river. And as they began to pull the string, they attached a strong wire to the string. And as they pulled the string across, then they got the wire. Once they had the wire, they attached a rope. Once they attached the rope and pulled the rope across the river, they attached a barge to the rope. And that's how they built this first bridge that spanned the Niagara River. It all started with a string, a little bit of line. And the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah chapter 28, around verse 10, the Lord speaks to his people and to his prophet and says to them, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. God gives his word to the church that we might grow and understand the word of God. It is the Bible that will change your life. You will be tempted. I say tempted because some of us have tried it enough to know it doesn't work, and that is take up a New Year's resolution. I pledge to do thus or so. Well, listen, we all make our promises and our pledges to the waistline or to the bottom line or to something, and shortly after we're defeated and discouraged because we fail. Listen, the reason why we do that is because there's no power within us to perform it. We have great intentions, but we don't have the power to perform. We are in a portion of Scripture as we look at the Apostles' Farewell Address, this being part three of our message, where the Holy Spirit has been promised in the book of Acts to be the source of power that brings about Christianity in our lives and also Christianity around the world. And it is the Holy Spirit working in the life of a believer today that God will use. And so we're going to be looking at it, and I hope you take notes, and I hope you do your best to keep along with me. We have 3 points to the message this morning, but a lot of sub-points to look at that are very important to us in our Christian growth. So I want you to hang on to this. Turn in your Bibles, if you would, though, to Acts chapter 20, beginning at verse 26. Acts chapter 20, verse 26. Therefore, Paul says, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare to you the whole counsel of God. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to shepherd the church of God, which he purchased with his own blood. Very powerful scriptures. We'll just take these three this morning, and it's going to be enough as we look at it. I'll do my best to get past verse 1 today. But listen, Paul is nearing the end of his life, people. Great, great missionary, pastor, apostle that he was. He's nearing the end of his earthly ministry, and he's also getting up there in age. And they're all coming to a focal point that will meet in Rome. Paul will lose his head, literally, not far from this point. He's on his way to Jerusalem. He's left the area of Ephesus. You can go there and visit the area today. And maybe we'll do that in the future with a Holy Land tour. But he left that region, and now some 30 miles away, calls for the Ephesian elders. Elders, bishops, deacons, same meaning, don't worry about it, same meaning as the word pastor. The heads of the churches and fellowships together to give them one final briefing. And we started looking at it last week. But we take this most important part this morning systematically. But Paul is completing now his missionary journey. The first point in our study today is Paul had a clear conscience toward all men. He had given them the gospel. And he even says, I've got a clear conscience. I'm free from the blood of all men. So listen, regarding that issue alone, we're going to find out 3 things that are absolutely essential for us to understand as Christians. Very important. First of all, jot it down. Verse 26, right at the top, he says, therefore. Well, what's the therefore? Whenever you see a therefore, you're supposed to find out what it's there for. And that's a cute little jingle, but it works. You ought to circle the word therefore and draw a little line to verse 25. This is how we study Bible. You go to school to learn how to do this. Now, that wasn't too hard, was it? Draw a line around therefore and go to verse 25. Well, what did he say in verse 25? Paul says, indeed, now I know that you all. He was from Dallas, probably the area. South Dallas, y'all. And indeed, now I know that you all, among whom I have gone preaching, that is the word evangelizing, the kingdom of God, will see my face no more. Because you're not going to see me anymore, Paul says, verse 26, therefore. He's going to challenge them. And we do well to listen. He says, therefore, I testify to you this day that I am innocent of the blood of all men. Boy, is that a great statement or what? Can you say that? I wish I could say that. I cannot say that. I hope by the time I come to the end of my Christian experience, I can say that I'm innocent of the blood of all men. But what I can make sure of is in an auditorium like this, and by the time we come to the end of the 3 services today, I will be able to at least be free from the blood of those who have sat here. Those who get the tapes across the United States from this pulpit, if they hear the message, I can be sure that my blood or their blood is not required of my hands, so to speak, and we'll see what all that means in a moment. But he's talking to us about an urgency to get the gospel out, to give the news of Christ to the world. Now listen, I don't want to spend too much time on this, and we all know by association, so we won't really need to belabor the point, but if you're a Christian this morning, have you ever heard God tell you things? Have you ever heard God speak to you? Now, some people, some Christians say, I've never heard God speak to me. Well, you know what? He has spoken to you. You're not just sure about recognizing his voice. In fact, those of you who are not Christians this morning, let me prove to you that God speaks to you too. When you're going 55, 60, 65, 70, 75, in a 35, that voice inside that says, you're breaking the law, you're going a little bit too fast, you ought to slow down, that's not your Jiminy Cricket talking to you. That is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Jesus said when the Spirit comes, he'll convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. So you don't even have to be a believer this morning. You can actually be denying the existence of God, and you'll hear that voice, slow down. That's the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And when you cross that speed limit, by the way, you become a sinner in the truest meaning of the word. It means to miss the mark. The standard that is posted is the word to be a sinner. To miss the mark is to miss the posted standard. And in our case, we're talking about speed limits. So we've heard God speak, but what about the Christian who says, I don't think I've heard God speak to me? Yes, you have. Have you ever heard God say to you, tell that lady, tell that man, tell that child about my son Jesus? You've heard him say it, haven't you? I have too. And immediately the struggle begins. Immediately there's something going on the inside. Am I going to share? What? How am I going to share? What am I going to share? Is he going to listen to me? I have no problem sharing with people who are smaller than me. It's easy. It's the big guys. But that shouldn't matter. Because what I have to give them is the greatest, most liberating news in the world. Paul the Apostle said, I'm innocent. And I'm testifying to all of you regarding that fact. The blood of those who have heard me are no longer upon my hands, he says. But how do we hear God? Well, the first thing to do as believers, listen carefully, is Isaiah 59, verses 1 and 2. You know those scriptures well. The first thing is we need to make sure that our hands are cleared from sin. God doesn't like to speak to us when there's sin between him and us. He doesn't like it. He won't do it. You can't go around being a violent breaker of the commands of God and expect God to talk to you or bless you. He's too jealous of you and your love to do that stuff. And so in Isaiah 59 verses 1 and 2, it says, my hand, behold, the hand of the Lord is not short that he cannot save you, neither is his ear thick or heavy or deaf that he cannot hear you. But your sins have separated you from your God, so that he will not hear you. So we need to make sure that when we walk before the Lord, our hands are clean. And by the way, that's walking in the form of a revival in your life every day. I'm not talking about, you know, the little Oregon plane and the tent goes up kind of revival. I don't know what that means. I don't know how that ever became, revival became synonymous with putting up a tent and having an Oregon plate and, you know, the evangelist is coming to town, we're having a revival. That's not what that word means. Revival means that in the life of a believer, they're brought closer to God and they're experiencing a continual renewal of the Spirit moment by moment. And that happens when you dwell close to the Lord. Well, we need to be walking before him in a path of confession and obedience to him. But the next thing is that we can have, quite literally, in the spirit realm, fat in our ears. Fat in our ears. We can have sins in our hands and fat in our ears. Jack, what do you mean, fat in our ears? Well, in Hebrews 5:11, Paul the Apostle says to the Hebrew church there, he says, I'd like to talk to you more about Jesus Christ, regarding whom I have much to say, but it will be hard to explain them to you because you have become dull of hearing. The word in the Greek means your ears have become thick. And what plays along into the statement of Paul is that they have fat, lard, stuck in their ears. They can't hear. Can you imagine taking some lard and putting them in your ears and, what'd you say? I can't hear you. Well, you got fat in your ears, man. And Paul is saying, get the fat out of your ears so you can hear God again. Be active. The word also implies that you once had a spiritual relationship with God and you've stepped back from that. You've become sluggish in your hearing of God. We need to be going on with him. We'll hear from God and then we'll be able to share the Lord. Very important. We must be willing to share the Lord. That is our first thing. If we're going to have a clear conscience toward all men, that's Mr. and Mrs. Mankind, that God puts in our sphere of influence, we need to first of all be willing to share Christ. Are you ready to share the Lord? Well, this church is going to be schooling you shortly on how to share Jesus Christ in a fantastic way. It's called The Call. It's our evangelism ministry, and we're going through a fantastic study right now about how to share Christ. And once we got it down, we're going to be training it to all of you about how to go through the Bible and lead somebody to the Lord. But are you willing? When you hear God speak to you, are you willing to tell them? That's a critical point. I don't know about you, but I struggle sometimes. God says, share. I say, I don't know. I don't know. And this always, God seems to always staple this to my head. It's an old saying, if a church does not evangelize, it will fossilize. And I don't want to become some old crusty fossil. And neither do you. We need to be evangelistic. Go to your neighbors today. Invite them to come. But how are we to respond? We need to be willing, first of all. Then we're to go out and obey the Lord. And we're going to put into your hands the ability and the power and the resources to do that. But we need to do it. Why? Because the Bible says in Romans 3:23 that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All mankind have sinned. Does the Pope need to be born again? Absolutely. Billy Graham, you betcha. Jesus said, if we are not born again, we will not see the kingdom of God in John chapter 3. In Romans 3:12, Paul again said, all have turned aside. Every one of us as human beings have gone his own way and become unprofitable to God. And there is none who does good, no, not one. Well, Jack, I find that highly offensive. I'm pretty good. Well, God says you're not good enough. Well, wait a minute. I mean, I don't, you know. Hey, you got to be as good as Jesus Christ. You can't do that. You got to come to trust in Him, God's righteous Son. We are to reach out to the world around us. We're to greet them. And so, he says, therefore, I testify to you. The word testify is an interesting word. It's a powerful word. It means to be in a courtroom setting and to give testimony before a great host of witnesses. And by the way, the word implies that God's the judge. Paul is saying to these guys, I testify to all of you. Now watch this. He's got all of the elders together. And Paul stands up, and the word suggests it's a very formal gathering. And Paul's making it like that. He's saying, now listen, all of you, quiet, please, listen here, everyone. Now, I testify to you. And they might have said, man, he's really getting into this. What's the big deal? It's an urgency. I testify. I am giving witness to you all, and God is the judge. So now we've got a very serious situation here. What is he saying? He says, I testify to you this day. You should circle or underline this day in your Bible. Paul is speaking about handing the baton over on that particular day. Now, I like this stuff, and I kind of like Paul right here because I'm a lunatic for keeping track of days and times and stuff. I like that stuff. I can tell you where I was sitting when I got born again, the day of the week. I can almost tell you what time it was. You know, I just like that stuff. Maybe I should work for the IRS. I don't know. I just like it, though. It's fun. You know, when was that? Oh, that was, you know, January 26, 1985. I just kind of like that stuff. Well, Paul is saying, I'm gathering you guys here, and I solemnly swear to you all this day. Check your calendars. Check your watches, boys. It's this day that I hand the baton over, that I hand the baton. Have you guys, gals, anybody run the 440 relay, the baton? I used to do that in high school, and you can't tell now, but I used to be real quick. I was fast, and I was the last guy, what you'd know him by, to get the baton. And you know what? The gun goes off, and you see your first guy, and he's going, second guy, third guy. Then you're kind of like, okay, here we go, and you're getting a little antsy there. And that baton, and that guy's coming, and you got to start your lead just at the right time, and everything's going, and the crowd's going nuts, and everything's great. And you know what? The most critical part about a relay is, of course, run fast. That's presupposing that you run fast. But the next thing is handing the baton over. And you take that baton, and that guy's got it in his right hand, and you've got your left hand out, and there's really two critical steps. Number one, the guy places that baton in your hand, and he doesn't set it there like a Twinkie. He slaps the palm of your hand, and it snaps. I mean, it smarts. He doesn't let go until your left hand, he sees the white of your knuckles on that baton. And all that happens in a millisecond of time. Once you get going, you can either hold it in your left or transfer it over. Coaches hate for you to transfer it over to your right hand. Why? Any handshake, any exchange creates a margin or possibility of error. Paul is committing his work and his 3 years of labor in the church of Ephesus in that region over to these other pastors, and he's slapping the truth into their hands, so to speak, so that they do not drop that baton to carry on the work of God. Listen, Jesus promised that the work of God will always continue. He told Peter, upon your declaration, Peter, that I am the Christ, the Son of the living God, I will build my church. Who builds the church? Jesus builds the church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. That's still true today, you know. Jesus doesn't start something and not finish it. Jesus began the work. He sent his promise to the work, the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and his work goes out through the earth, and you are, and I am, the tools that God wants to use to reach the world. Very important. We need to be willing. The next thing that we need to see in verse 26 is that we need to see people through eternity glasses, so to speak. We need to be thinking. When he says this day, it speaks of a specific time. And Jesus Christ warns us about a specific time. Paul the Apostle tells us in another place. Paul preaches in 2 Thessalonians 1:10 that Jesus Christ will come, and in that day he will be glorified. There's a day coming when Jesus will return. Paul operates with this eternal mindset. How about an eternal clock in his own life? Everywhere Paul went, he shared the good news of Christ. What do we do today? Set our clocks back because it's no longer now daylight savings time. Well, Paul never fiddled with such things. He was always on soul saving time. It was always the right time for him. We need to walk like that. Listen, people, I don't want to get you too upset. But Jesus spoke about hell more than any other author and any other speaker in the Bible. He says it's real. I know it's not popular to talk about that. Churches shrink, you know, when you talk about hell. And we need seating in here today, second service, so we'll talk about hell just a little bit and free up some seats next week. But it's a real place. That's why he went to the cross, because it's real. He doesn't want anybody to go there. Well, it's metaphorical. Oh, really? Then why did he not bleed metaphorical blood? Then why didn't he metaphorically die and rise from the dead 3 days later? Because it's real. And I have noticed that if we are going to be willing to share Jesus Christ, if we are going to be people who are excited about seeing the Word of God go out and seeing things through the eternal perspective, we will be people who will evangelize, because Christ is real to us and heaven is real to us and hell is real. And listen, I got to tell you right now, we will fossilize as a church if we don't believe what Jesus Christ has to say. We'll fossilize because, listen, I have found out in my life that when I'm excited about going to heaven, when I can't wait, when I'm thinking about God, you know what happens in your life and mine? We're a little bit contagious.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation called The Apostles' Farewell Address. Now, this is actually a mini-series by that title, starting with a look at Acts chapter 20. Join us again on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio as we continue. Listen, if you're a regular listener to Real Radio, get in touch and let us know. You can certainly write to us, and for the cost of a stamp, you can be among those who correspond and encourage Pastor Jack. Our address? Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. Or visit us at realradioactive.org. realradioactive.org, and click on the tab that reads Reaction. You may go into great detail if you'd like, or make it short and sweet like this one. Thank you for your online messages. They are a comfort to me every day. That's it. That's an actual message a listener wrote. If you need to get in touch for any other reason, call us toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.